Welcome to Parents' Perspective. How does Stanley do his homework? The second grade teacher asked Stanley's parents. I have him sit down with me every night, responded his mother, Melissa. But frankly, he just doesn't seem to get it. He gets his columns of numbers all mixed up, so often he's adding the wrong numerals. He just can't seem to stay focused, even for a few minutes. Have you had his vision checked? The teacher queried. Oh, yes, his vision's fine. I just wish he would concentrate. Now it's getting so he'll do anything not to tackle his math, replied Melissa. He's having trouble in class, too, his teacher agreed. But I've noticed that he's wonderful at keeping the statistics from our class Olympics all in his head. Something is keeping him from working comfortably on paper. Gently, she continued, I'd like to suggest that you have him tested to see if he has any learning issues. Stanley's dad, Ben, spoke up.
Well, if he's smart enough, how can we just get him to buckle down and do his work?
I suggest, the teacher said again, that you might want to have him tested. From a parent's perspective, what kinds of learning issues can our children have, and what can we do about them? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest helps kids with learning issues every day. Penny Heltzer is founder and head of school at the Potomac Education Center in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. The center provides support services for students in study skills and content area, as well as providing preparation for SAT and other standardized testing. Penny has four children, two sons and two daughters, the youngest of whom is 16. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Penny.
Thank you for having me.
When we say that a child has trouble learning in a regular school setting, what kinds of issues might he have?
Think of a car. There are times when it turns on automatically, no problem. There are other times when it just misfires and won't start at all.
So does that mean that somebody with a learning disability may be able to do something fine one time and not the next time?
Yes. That's exactly
That's exactly
what happens.
That must be very sort of disconcerting for the kid because he's not sure whether something's going to work or not.
Yes.
Penny, could you just briefly demystify for us some of the labels we hear like ADHD, dyslexia, terminology that we hear about?
Today, we define dyslexia as the more complicated language processing, including the understanding of language, the receptive language, and the expressive language component.
But it means that the child has trouble with this. It's not the learning
it's
of this,
difficulty
it's the trouble
with
this.
Yes, difficulty, unevenness with the language process.
Okay, now so that means a dyslexic child, the math part is not in that definition of dyslexic.
That's interesting, because very often you see the child that might see the P and the B reversed. That same child might reverse the 2 and the 5. That same child might be able, might read no, N-O.
So it's a vision perception.
Yes,
it's
and not confuse it with on. This is the same child when they are copying numbers from the blackboard will write them in reverse order. This is the same youngster that might confuse the minus and the plus sign.
Okay. So it's a visual perceptual thing that could be
yes.
language, math, anything that's visual. Now, what about something like ADHD? We hear that term bandied about a lot. What does that mean?
ADD is attention deficit disorder. ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
And what's the difference?
The difference is that the child with ADD may be sitting in the classroom, and be distracted by a bird chirping outside and then drift out the window.
In his thoughts.
Exactly. Or in their own mind, suddenly be thinking about something other than what is happening in the classroom. Maybe thinking about something other than what mom is requesting.
Okay. And ADHD
is the child who's hyperactive, bouncing around in the classroom, easy to notice because they are a distraction. this is the child that is diagnosed more easily.
Because of the behavior issues.
Can parents pick these problems up before a child is school age?
NIH claims that 15% of our population has learning differences.
NIH meaning the National Institutes of Health?
Absolutely.
Which studies these
One
things?
One out of seven people. Mm. This is nothing to be ashamed of. This is not a factor of IQ. It does not indicate mental retardation. It has nothing to do with blindness. It has nothing to do with emotional problems.
Can we name some people who've had learning disorders who've gone on to do very well?
Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison,
Nelson
Tom
Rockefeller.
Cruise, Cher.
There you go.
The most important thing is that we want intervention to begin early. And parents can notice if there's a gross motor coordination problem. Can your youngster kick a ball? Can your youngster catch a ball? Does your youngster run at an even pace? Then there's small coordination problems, motor coordination. Does your child draw? Do they use multiple colors? When they're coloring and using outlines, can they actually fill in the spaces? What does the finger grip look like when they pick up a crayon, a pencil, a piece of chalk? Are they using, it's called the tripod grip.
Which
is
means?
The pencil placed right between the forefinger and the thumb, leaning on little tall man? Or is it in their fist?
And I would think different ages, too. Maybe kids who are 2 years old, it could be in their fists. So that wouldn't be necessarily
yes,
a symbol of
yes.
problems.
But not
maybe
always,
when they're
but a little bit older,
4 years old.
4 years old, 5 years old. What is happening is the child is trying to wield this utensil. And they want the connection between the hand and the brain by using a grip that incorporates more than the three fingers. They are forcing more movement, which helps the brain to connect. When the child begins to write, are the letters reversed?
Now, we have to say that at the beginning of the process, it's very common for the letters
yes.
to be reversed. I remember one of my siblings, I think, would bring home papers from elementary school, and my mother would just put them up to the mirror and read them.
Yes,
fine. when is that? When does that begin to be a symptom?
That happened to one of mine as
well. Is
that
right?
Yes, wrote his name. We held it up to the mirror, and everybody said, "Fabulous! How did you do that?" I turned green. When you think about it, the Hebrew language, it works from right to left.
Who,
Japanese
dude.
Is top to bottom.
Yes. Yes.
Why should our brain function from left to right?
It has to be taught.
Yes.
Okay.
It can be taught. It can be reinforced. And just because this happens at 4, at 5, does not mean it's going to persist. The things that I am mentioning are things that are just signs, something that you can tune into. This does not mean that the child will not compensate with a little maturity.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of learning issues.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors, and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Penny Heltzer, head of the Potomac Education Center, about learning issues with children.
Very often, instead of naming things, your youngster might say dot or dis, and you'd say, "What is that?" And you realize the youngster is having difficulty retrieving words.
So this is an auditory component of that learning problem.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is related to memory, retrieval of information.
So that's
I
what
have
we're
that
all
problem
going
now.
Through now.
Yes.
As you get older, it also kicks in.
You might also notice that when you tell your youngster, go to your bed and pick up the orange ball. The youngster may walk into the bedroom and come back with the green ball. Because it's sequential directions, you might say the ball is in the closet. Open the door. It's underneath the basket. Some youngsters can do this easily. Others might find it a problem.
How old are youngsters when we should pay attention to those things? I know two-year-olds may not be able to function with all those directions, but
yes.
What, four-year-olds probably?
I would expect a three-year-old, a four-year-old, yes, certainly, would be able to hold on to this sequential information.
And I guess the other thing that we're talking about when we're talking about signs that parents can look for is if kids avoid certain things. Like I had a child who had developmental issues who avoided being on play equipment where there were other children because it was a self-protective mechanism. So I'm thinking if you have a kid who avoids kicking a ball or trying to catch a ball or doing some of those activities, that would be somewhat risky for them, that they're uncomfortable with. Would that be a sign?
Usually a child does not get on the monkey bars and tackle what he cannot handle safely, which is why you have these setups at the elementary school. The teacher cannot keep her eye on every child, yet the child manages to keep themselves safe. I've heard of a youngster who rode his bicycle, knew how to pedal, but didn't want to pedal very quickly. It ended up the child had amblyopia.
And which is, you have to demystify
okay,
that one.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was
it's an eye.
Where one eye is stronger than the other. And one eye, sometimes, because I guess the focus isn't perfect, one eye is shut down. So without this, you have a loss of depth perception.
Yeah, that's scary
this
on a bike.
This is the youngster that did not want to pedal too quickly.
So children do have a sense of what their issues are. So we just need to tune
into
it.
It's like the tall person who knows without even consciously being aware of it that they're going to duck their head when they're moving through a low doorway. I'd also like to say that once the child is in school, a teacher may notice so many factors, but may be afraid to mention it to a parent.
Oh, my gosh.
A parent who will be quite eager to kill the messenger. But it's very important to know that it's the teacher who will notice reversals, omissions, insertions, substitutions. These are all part of the reading process. The teacher will notice if when the child is reading or writing, the O-N and the
N-O,
N-O thank you, is reversed. The teacher will notice if a word like the is omitted or a substitution like a for the, which doesn't change the meaning, but perhaps the child visually is not seeing it as precisely as the child might. A teacher may notice inconsistencies in the child's spelling. For instance, little Johnny is thinking about the formation of each letter, thinking about the spelling of each word and the content. This represents a complicated task. And at that point, there may be a breakdown. These are the inconsistencies that you must hope that your teacher will pick up. This could be the child that becomes depressed. This is the child that recedes into their own shadow. And when your child comes home, it has to be the safe haven. You cannot say, why, as you go through the homework bag, wasn't this paper completed? Maybe as you look at the homework, you might want to help your youngster organize his notes. You might want to organize a little study schedule.
So you can say something like, oh, I noticed this isn't completed. Would you like some help with it? Or can we sit down together? Instead of saying, why didn't you do this?
This looks interesting. Show me what you were doing in class. Let me help you. You are the buffer between your child and the school. This may not be done in a punishing way. You are the significant advocate.
Now we have anxious parents who've had their child, at least it's been suggested by the teacher that perhaps they need to be tested. And then they bring the child to a center like yours, and the child is tested, and it's been found that the child has learning issues. And then the parents go, well, now what's going to happen? And so now what's going to happen?
It's very important to demystify the problem. These misconceptions are extremely dangerous. The child is feeling retarded. The child is feeling anger and shame. He will be, or she will be, relieved to understand there's a specific problem.
Mm-hmm.
This will help the youngster advocate for himself or herself.
That's a key, isn't it?
Yes.
To give the youngster permission to say, I'm not understanding this. Can we do it differently?
Exactly. Very often, this is genetic. Mostly, it's genetic.
Which means that parents could be very helpful by saying, you know, Uncle Jimmy had that problem in school. I had that problem in school. And
yep.
There they see grown-ups who are whole, who are functioning. So it must be something that's okay.
Mommy understands. Or when you're explaining something to a child, and the child says, I don't get it. And you say, don't worry. I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to do a better job of presenting this to you. And maybe the parent could make it more concrete. It's important to teach it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Come at it from a different angle. Repeating the same words won't do the trick. I think when a child learns to read, it's somewhat of a miracle.
When they learn to elide the letters and they have to put the sounds together, and so instead of s, m, I, l, it's smile. I mean, that's a major, that's
right,
a huge step.
The blending, that's the next stage. And sometimes I have, remember the old little matchbox cars? I would put that underneath the letters. I put the tiles together, mm-hmm. which they read individually. Then we put the tiles together and we run a little matchbox underneath it to show that we want these to blend together.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of learning issues.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Penny Heltzer, head of the Potomac Education Center, about learning issues in children.
The parents are sitting out in the waiting room, and the kid is in with you. And what is the kid doing exactly?
Okay, I work with tiles, movable tiles, sandpaper letters.
So there's a lot of tactile stuff going on.
I try, yes. You want the child to be involved auditorily, visually, and tactily, kinesthetically. You want the child to pick up the pencil or just trace it with their finger. Then you want to put the pencil in their hand and have them trace it. You could use chalk and create lines, give them a large space, create some friction, and they could be writing this on a pavement so that they feel right to every corner of their brain. You want them to feel this letter and to say the sound so it may stick with them.
So there are lots of ways to incorporate
absolutely.
This into, and you work to see what is the best way for that child.
Yes.
Different
You're
kinds
always
of tools.
Using the child's learning style, the child's learning strength.
I remember somebody had a clinic where they worked with kids who had dyslexic issues, and they taught the kids to juggle because they said it used some part of the brain and it was a kinesthetically helpful thing. It was sort of like exercising a part of the brain.
That's very interesting because, you know, very often they're saying 8-year-olds should be playing a musical instrument at an early age. And what this forces youngsters to do is to integrate the brain. There's a visual motor capacity. If you're playing the piano, if you're playing the violin, then there's the understanding of the timing and the hearing component, the auditory component. And when you are integrating this, it's a very complicated process so that you want this brain to function as a whole.
So it sounds like one thing parents can do is expose children to lots of different things to get the brain exercised,
sure.
Music and physical activities.
Yes, and there are windows of opportunity. So when a child is young, you want to be reading to this child. You want to be introducing them to pictures and vocabulary. They don't have to drown in it. It doesn't have to be a test situation, but it's an exposure. You take this child to the zoo and they're seeing animals. You're showing them a sign which might say, "Do not feed the animals." All these are part of a world that will benefit this child. When you read to the child, or you're driving in the car, and you know there are books that have rhymes, or you're saying a nursery rhyme, and you wonder if the child can hear a word that will rhyme with hit. Does sit rhyme with hit? I mean, there are so many ways that you can stimulate the brain and ready it for the learning process.
Penny, we know some of our listeners are going to want to learn more about learning issues. Could you suggest some resources for them to turn to?
Yes. There's an organization, IDA, the International Dyslexia Association, has approximately 50 branches in the United States. The 800 number for IDA is 1-800-ABCD-123. Their website is www.interdys.org. There's another organization that comes to mind, LDA, the Learning Disabilities Association. For LDA, the 800 number is 1-888-300-6710. Their website is www.ldaamerica.org. CHAD, Children with Attention Deficit Disorder. This is a support organization for parents who have children exhibiting the ADHD or ADD factor. HEATH, Higher Education and Adult Training for People with Handicaps. This is a post-secondary educational organization. There's a very important Books on Tape program. It's called Reading for the Blind and Dyslexic. They provide a catalog of available books that you can scan through on your internet. 80,000 books are available. Your child may borrow these books for an unlimited amount of time. There's a $75 registration fee. This is the initial fee. A $25 annual fee. And then there's the investment in this four-track recorder. The four-track recorder allows the person listening to slow or speed up the tape and will provide 4 hours of uninterrupted tape. The Franklin Speller is a dictionary the size of, pardon me for saying this, a cigarette case.
We all know that's small.
Yes. It provides dictionary, homonyms, and thesaurus availability so that your youngster in school should have this in their book bag.
And where would they get something like that?
Do you know, it's sold all over. Then we have the Kurzweil 3000. Kurzweil will allow an actual image of a page to come up on a computer screen. The text is then read, and the actual words are highlighted simultaneously to hearing the auditory process.
Penny, would you spell Kurzweil?
K-U-R-Z-W-E-I-L. Kurzweil. Their site is www.kurzweiledu.com. There are a few books that come to mind. Keeping Ahead in School and All Kinds of Minds. Both of these were written by Mel Levine, Dr. Mel Levine.
Can you spell his last name?
L-E-V-I-N-E. Another book for the adult is Frames of Mind by Howard Gardner. Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-E-M-A-N, also for adults, talks about emotional intelligence like self-awareness, impulse control, persistence, self-motivation, social deafness, all which will contribute to success in the adult world.
Well, Penny Heltzer of the Potomac Education Center, we are so glad to have had you with us because you've contributed to a lot in terms of knowledge of this very mystifying learning issues subject. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure to be here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 165. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. You'll notice there are no W's in this website address. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.